has joined.
Good evening.
You were the first to arrive.
Oh, good.
So will we have others? That
you
is
know,
the question.
You know what I found out?
What did you find out?
That my relatives must have come over on the Mayflower.
Why is that?
Because I'm always a pilgrim.
Okay.
I'm always first.
Well, I would never argue with that statement.
You're supposed to laugh. That was supposed to be a joke.
I know it was supposed to
has
be
joined.
A joke.
Okay.
But pilgrims are not jokes.
No,
good evening. Somebody else joined, but they're not speaking yet. But we can begin.
Okay.
So please join me with the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tatir, Serura, Alephet Gimel Yutav Tati. We connect to Ahavatinam, unconditional love, and the 72 name Vav Shin Resh, dealing with memories. Kabel Rinat Amchas Pagbeinu Taharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell cross Satan, two Hebrew words that translate as tear up Satan, tear up the Satan, tear up the negative system. The same letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, translation, small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth, as this is the entry point for the negative system. Na Gibor Dor She'ehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57 and connects to the energy of Zan.
Has joined.
It's sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take out of our body any part of the body that is not working properly, that is ill. Take it out, rejuvenate it, heal it, restore it, and then put it back in the body where it will then do its work as it was created to do perfectly. Barchem tacharem, rachame sidkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh, saditav kimmel. This sequence connects to the sephirah of Netzach and its inner essence of being a foundation. No, not a foundation. Eternal victory, eternity, eternal. Hasim kadosh, berotuha, ma'el adata, tetkufet, tetnunayin. This sequence connects to the Sephirah Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yahid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kiddush Zion Kuf. The sequence connects to the Sephira of Yesod and its essence of foundation, creativity, creation, and sexuality. Shamatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yode Talumahot Shinkufav Tsariyuta. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, which is the four worlds in their completed state of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. Completion connects you to perfection, because if something wasn't perfect, you'd still want to improve it till it was perfect. The last four letters connect to the same gematria, 506, as the first verse, Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to completion, which is perfection, requires us to inject unconditional love in every step in our life process. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Why do we separate between these, the right and the left columns? Because Hashem has tasked us, has given us the task to separate between the right column and the left column, just like the spiritual worlds do. Whereas the physical world is a lot of gray, a lot of mixture of these two columns, the right and the left. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseawon Wafesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty by utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. This verse comes from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. And since we have not yet said the eighth verse, we do not have to say L'Shem Yehud yet. Rabbi Abba Amar, Kamatar, Tanenan Dekud Shabarichu, Koma Deavet, Leela Witata, Olaihu Kishot, Biovada Dikshot, Velate La Mila, Bialma, Divae Barnash, Ledahia Leia. Mineya ulam haga eya kalana dehakulhu ovada dikshotinun wakola itzterich bealma. This year, our current year, the year 5781, is the energy of redemption, providing the children of Israel are ready, have the vessel for the redemption. One of the ways we increase our vessel and prepare our vessels for this coming redemption is to study a verse from the Tanakh that has the same energy as 5781. That verse that we study is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Wagamehem ekach lekohanim lalevim amar Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu heyo. And continuing to connect to the energy of the year 5774, peace in the Middle East. We study a verse from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, because it has the same energy as peace in the Middle East. Wasamti makom l'ami l'Yisrael undati v'shakam Taktav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu Bnei avla l'anoto ka'asher barishona. And let us now connect to the 72 names of God. Utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la awa he he ya yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nulaha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa nuta hey hey a yo re ta shi a hey re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo hey wa la hey hey ka wa ko me nuta a nu yo a hey a me re hey a yo yo za hey hey me yo ka.
Yo, wa, hey, hey, I'm cold,
Now for the Anim, actually for the meditation, just like the Anim meditation. That's Malchut. Now for Hod. You are who ni wu yahu. You are who ni wu yahu. You are who ni wu yahu. Now for Netzach. Ye ahi ni wu yahi. Ye ahi ni wu yahi. Ye ahi ni wu yahi. And now for Teret. Yo ahu ni wu yahu. Yo ahu ni wu yahu. Yo ahuni wo yo ho. And now for Givura. Yeah, ni wo yash, ni wo yash, yash, ni wo yash. Now for Chesed. Yeah, ni wo yo he. Yeah, ni wo yo he. Yeah, ni wo yo he. And now for Bina. Yeah, I ain't way yo hey. Hey, I ain't way yo hey. Yeah, I ain't way yo hey. Now for Hakma. Yeah, honey, why yo ha? Yeah, honey, why yo ha? Yeah, honey, why yo ha? And now for Keter. Yeah, honey, why yo ha? Yeah, honey, why yo ha? Ya hani wa yoha. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we will say in a whisper. Tonight's class is an essay by the Ari. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the 14th row, the second column from the left. When that landing page opens up, scroll down. Parasha Noah. And the second link in Parasha Noah is mystical intentions, and that's where we will start our class. And we may actually do the two, mystical intentions and the towering blunders. We'll just see how much time we have. We'll start with a L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. Mystical inundations. Kabbalah explains the mystical roots of the waters, the great flood. The water prevailed 15 cubits above, and the mountains were covered. This is a verse from that we will read tomorrow in the third Aliyah from Genesis chapter 7, verse 20. Thus, during the flood, the highest mountaintop was submerged 15 cubits. And let us understand why the mountaintops were submerged 15 cubits. No more and no less. Furthermore, did I say L'Shem Yehud? Since everyone is muted, I'm going to assume I did not, and I'm now going to say it. L'Shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. So we are now explaining why the flood covered the mountains exactly 15 cubits, not more and not less. We need to understand this, according to the Ari, and I think it's an interesting question. Once the Torah says that the water prevailed 15 cubits above, why must it say that the mountains were covered? This is implied in the word above. It is enough to say simply that the water prevailed 15 cubits above the mountains. What is gained by saying that the mountains were covered? The answer: the sin of the generation of the flood was wasteful emission of seed. It is known that this act causes above the same thing, namely, that the drop of divine beneficence issues from the male, which is Zeranpin, without being posited into the female, the Nukva. Rather, it is captured by the forces of evil. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. Before the flood, wasting seed was rampant. The verb to corrupt in Hebrew, hashchet, also means to waste. Thus, the phrase for all flesh had corrupted evil can also mean for all flesh had wasted its way on the earth. This immediately evokes the story of Judah's son Onan, where we are told when he engaged in marital relations with his dead brother's wife, he wasted it on the earth in order not to give seed to his brother. The verse describing the state of the earth before the flood thus indicates that wasting seed was rampant. The earth refers to the supernal earth, which was destroyed. And in what did its destruction consist? That all flesh had destroyed. Meaning that the supernal Yesod, which is termed all, had destroyed its way on the earth, and not in the Nukva. This is an appellation for Nukva, which is Malchut, in a complete structure of 10 Sephirot, which receives the seed of Zeranpin and develops into fruition and expression. In the verse, to you, O God, is the greatness. Gidulah is a synonym for Chesed. The Sephirah of Chesed in old manuscripts is called Gidulah. And the might, which is Givurah, and the beauty, which is Tiferet, and the victory, which is Netzach, and the majesty, which is Hod, for all referring to Yesod, that is in heaven and earth. To you, O God, is the dominion, Mamlacha, a synonym for Malchut. Yesod is referred to as all, because all the divine magnificence of the preceding Sephirot flows into it, and through it to Malchut. In the verse quoted, Yesod is described as positing its seed on the earth, on the surface of the earth, rather than in the earth. In this way, Nukva was destroyed, for it could not elevate feminine waters at all. Therefore, God brought the flood upon them. When the masculine water mates with her, the states of Givurah are sweetened. Since the flow from Yesod was directed toward the forces of selfishness and evil, rather than toward the Nukva could not elicit the flow of divine beneficence toward itself. Elevating feminine water is the allegorical term for arousing or eliciting a flow from above. Normally, Nukva can elevate her feminine water, which is states of Givurah. And when the masculine water mates with her states of Givurah, in her feminine water, the states of Givurah are sweetened. Let me read that again, because it takes a little bit of time to contemplate. Normally, the Nukva can elevate her feminine water, which is a state of Givurah. And when the masculine water mates with her, Malchut, in her completed state of 10 Sephirot, when she mates with her states of Givurah in her feminine water, the states of Givurah are sweetened. As we have seen previously, the feminine principle is constructed out of states of Givurah, since it needs to be very judgmental in order to interface with the material world, which is a priori and antithetical to godliness. In order that these states of Givurah not leave her with an entirely negative attitude, she must periodically mate with the male principle in which Chesed predominates. The mitigation of the Nukva's Givurah states by Zeranpin Chesed states is termed sweetening the Givurah. And that's a nice commentary by the translator. But what does it really mean? And we had a discussion about that this morning, when we read the verse. If you want to take a look at that recording, you might find it interesting. And Hashem took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. The sages comment, to work it refers to the active mitzvot, while to guard it refers to the passive mitzvot. Here the active mitzvot elicit the masculine water, while the passive mitzvot are feminine water. The passive mitzvot are clearly associated with Giborah, the judgmentality that guards the garden from intrusion by forces antithetical to God consciousness. But in the present case, that of the world before the flood, there was no masculine water at all. Rather, there was only severe states of judgment. Unable to be sweetened by mating with masculine water, which was diverted into the forces of evil by the sin of wasting seed, the feminine Geburah states remained in their full force. This predominance of Geburah in the world precipitated the flood. It actually caused people to be influenced by the environment, since the environment was in a state of Geburah. The people did actions of Geburah, of judgment. That's an unwritten commentary. The five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim. It is known that the five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim, and that they originate in the He of this name. Each of these states of Geburah comprises 10 sublevels. This is the significance of the He Yud of the name Elohim, meaning 5 times 10. I'll read the next paragraph that might be helpful for us. The name Elohim, we know, is associated with the left axis of the Sephiroth, that of Geburah. The Chesed, Geburah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod of this name are inter-included of 10 sub-Sephiroth each, giving 50 total sub-states of Geburah. The numerical value of the letters He and Yud are 5 and 10, respectively. When you add them, they're 15. When you multiply them, they are 50. Why do you add them in some cases and multiply them in other cases is not discussed in this essay. These are the 15 cubits of water depth that descended above the highest mountaintop. That's a very significant statement. Elohim is spelled E Aleph Lamed, then a He, then a Yud, and finally a Mem. So we're taking the Mem off of the He Yud, and we're taking the name of God, El, Aleph Lamed, off. We have left these two letters in God's name, of Hashem's name, He and Yud. And in this discussion, the flood required 15 cubits above the highest mountain. And we will learn shortly why that was. But you begin to see the way the mind of the Ari worked and what he was teaching us from the Kabbalah. It's a hint just yet, but we will see as we read on. The water, the 15 cubits, alludes to the five plus the 10 of the name Elohim. It's taking off. Seventy-one is Ayin and Aleph. What I'm saying is 86, the gematria of Elohim, minus the 15 cubits of water, left 71. But 71 is the Ayin, which is Chachma, and the Aleph, which is unity. But both letters are soundless. So when you take the 15 off, you're removing the negativity, because the positive aspects of the name Elohim, Aleph, Lamed, and Mem, the positive aspect is concealed because it's not pronounced. I'm continuing to read. The water is the feminine water mentioned above, from which the He and the Yud have been withdrawn, leaving Aleph, Lamed, Mem of Elohim. The states of Gevurah within the feminine water, as stated, could not be sweetened by the masculine water and form part of the harmonious functioning of the masculine and the feminine principles. So they separated from the feminine water and assumed a life of their own, so to speak. The 15 cubits of water allude to the absence of these two, A and 10, which is 5, and Yud, which is 10, and these 15 states of Gevurah from the feminine water. This is the mystical meaning of the word above, for it can be read to mean above the hay, referring to the states of Gevurah that were withdrawn above the hay, above the feminine water. These states of Gevurah ascended above her head to the level of the upper third of Tiferet. We have seen previously that the Nukva is positioned initially such that the top of her head is level with the line dividing the upper third of Zeranpin's Tiferet from its lower two-thirds. This simply means that the Nukva expresses directly only the lower midot of Zeranpin. Chesed Gevura and the upper third of Tiferet are the pure midot. The midot oriented toward external expression are the lower two-thirds of Tiferet, Netzach and Hod. Yesod and Malchut are technically the drive toward and means of expression of the midot, rather than the midot proper. The upper third of Tiferet is the intellect of Tiferet. The lower two-thirds of Tiferet are the Chesed Gevura Tiferet and the Netzach Hod and Yesod of Tiferet. The intellect of any Sefirah is oriented chiefly towards its source in the Sefirot above it, while the Midot of that Sefirah is oriented chiefly outwards and downwards towards expression in the realm below it. They continued to ascend to the level of Chesed and Gevurah, which are called the mountains, as opposed to Netzach and Hod, which are called the hills. Mountains can be envisioned as protrusions from the earth, the expression of the earth's desire or tendency to reach beyond itself. Thus, the midot oriented outward towards external reality are protrusions of the partsuf outward, Since the intensity of consciousness is greater in Chesed and Givurah than it is in Netzach and Hod, the former are called mountains relative to the latter, which are called hills. As is known in the generation of the flood, Zeranpin and Nukva were back to back. This is alluded to by the two words mountain. Mountain, whose numerical values are that of the name Elohim in regression, plus 5 for the value of the 5 letters of the name. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeranpin and Nukva could not face each other. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeranpin and Nukva could not face each other. They were not oriented toward mutual cross-fertilization, as we mentioned above. The word for mountain is Har, spelled Hey Resh, which is 205. The regression of the name Elohim, spelled Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, is Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed He, Aleph Lamed He Yud, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem. The numerical value of this regression is 200, as you can see. Thus, we see that the back-to-back state of Zeranpin and Nukva is alluded to by the mountains of Chesed and Givurah being submerged in the water, and it alludes in turn to the regression of the name Elohim, the withdrawal of the divine beneficence indicated by this name from reality. Thus, the Nukva states of Givurah ascended to this level. It is known that at this level is where Yesod of Ima reaches and stops and is revealed, and that the source of the Nukva states of Givurah is in Yesod of Ima. Yesod of Ima, as we know, is the drive within the intellect for expression. It descends to the level of Chesed and Givurah of Zeranpin, for that is as far as the intellect can descend and act as the motivating force behind the expression of the emotions. That is, Chesed and Givurah of Zeranpin are the lowest levels that sustain any memory of the intellect that spawned them. Subsequent levels must take the inspiration of the intellect, but forget the idea itself in order to concentrate on getting the conclusion of the idea out into the world. Ima, the Partsuf of Bina, is associated with the left axis of the Sephiroth, and thus its drive towards expression is the source of the Givurah aspect of the Nukva. And this is the meaning of the Zohar's statement that in the flood, the lower waters mixed with the upper waters. The meaning is also that the states of Givurah in her reign mixed with the states of Givurah in the Ima. Flood was the immersion of the world in the original intellect, or idea, that gave rise to it. In the flood, the Givurah states of the Nukva could not, as we saw, be sweetened by her husband Zeranpin. So they had to return to their source, in their mother, Ima, to be rectified. Thus, the flood was the immersion of the world in the original intellect, or idea that gave rise to it, in order to be renewed. Thus, this was a purification process, just as a return to the original intellectual construct that gave rise to one's emotional makeup is a purifying experience. However, such a flood of renewing energy can also be destructive, destroying the imperfect, corrupt, degenerate emotional makeup of the world that was spawned by that idea, but developed along selfish lines. And this is probably why most people tend to avoid facing the real issues in life. Tracing the threads of our existence back to their source offers the promise of renewal, purification, and rejuvenation. But the price is the potential destruction of the world or the civilization we have carefully constructed to serve our own ends. This is the mystical meaning of the verse. All the wellsprings of the abyss split open, referring to the states of Givorah in Rachel, which is the Nukva, and the storehouses of heaven were open, referring to the Yesod of Ima, located in heaven, the top third of Tiferet. What this commentator didn't recognize is that that top third of Tiferet, when Rachel, Malchut, elevates up into Bina, she takes Zerantin with her. And she rises into Bina, and he rises into Bina. And that's where the feminine waters from Rachel and the feminine waters from Leah mix with the with the male waters coming from Zerantin. When you think about what I've just said, things will become more clear. I'm continuing to read. In this context, the lower waters, the abyss, are the feminine waters of the Nukva, and the upper waters, the storehouses of heaven, where the waters of Yesod of Ima, which is heaven, is often associated with Tiferet, as contrasted to earth, which indicates Malchut. The words for and the storehouses may be seen as 15 plus 200, referring to the 200 as the regressive manifestations of the name Elohim. The rest of the letters, together with the Kolel, are 15. These are the 15 letters of the regression of Elohim. If you look back up a little bit, you'll see Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem. And you'll see that there's a total of 15 letters. The phrase, and the storehouses of heaven were opened, is composed of 15 letters. If we consider the ratio of the word for storehouses, in Hebrew it's arubot, separately, this leaves 14 letters. And 14 plus the kolel is 15. The translator is trying to reconcile the words of the Ari, because he's struggling. Because why does he disagree? Just take out the resh being the head. Well, the head is not in the physical world. So this is another way of reaching the number 15. Because there are 10 letters in the spelled-out name of Elohim, plus the gematria of the five letters. I'm continuing to read. This is the Zeranpin, for that is where the regressions, the backs of the names Ab, Sag, and Ma are situated. And these three names, when spelled out, which is the names of Hashem when spelled out, they use 26 letters. And 3 times 26 gives 78, the numerical value of the word for flood being Mabul. The word used for regression in the text is Achraim, which literally means the back. We are bidden to visualize the name facing away from us, returning upward to its source. We first see the back of the first letter, then the first two, then the first three, and so on. The name Ab is spelled Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Yud Vav He Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Yud Vav He Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Yud Vav He Yud. The name Sag is spelled Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Aleph Vav He Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Aleph Vav Yud Vav Dalet He Yud Vav Aleph Vav He Yud. The name Ma is spelled Yud Vav Dalet He Aleph Vav Aleph Vav He Aleph. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet Yud Vav Dalet He Aleph Yud Vav Dalet He Aleph Vav Aleph Vav Yud Vav Dalet He Aleph Vav Aleph Vav He Aleph. In each case, it can be seen that 26 letters are used in the regression, and that's why it's 3 times 26. Mabul, meaning flood, is spelled Mem Bet Vav Lamed, totaling 78. The word for flood, Mabul, thus alludes to the withdrawal of the divine life force indicated by these iterations of the name Havaya from the world. We're out of time, so I'm not going to read more from this parasha, from the Ari. We will do so next year, or maybe another time. But it's important for us to understand what was read here. The water covered the mountains. These are code words. What happened? In the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah, in those 10 generations, the influence of Givurah was more effective than the influence of Chesed. And thus, men wasted their seed. Thus, men had sexual relations with animals. Why? Because they were influenced by the negative system. Because the negative system was related to Givurah. So we can't just take the idea that a human being is good. His soul is good. But the body is influenced by the senses around him, by the energies around him. If he's living in a state of Givurah with the people around him, he's going to do more negative actions. So it's imperative on us to choose to live in locations where we can be influenced by positivity. are in exile. If we lived in Israel, we would be influenced by the area, but we're also, that area is positive, the land of Israel, but it's also affected by the negative actions of people who live there. What we're being taught in this essay is really significant. The metaphors that are used by the Ari are not just metaphors. They are real influences on my life, on your life, on every soul of Israel's life. And that's why it's imperative that we learn the way they think. When the waters covered the mountain, it was because every speck of dirt, in the world had become negativized by the actions. And the only thing that will clean that is the mikveh. The mikveh was the flood. Does anyone have any questions? You all have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Tomorrow we will have 4 classes. Our morning class, which commences at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will read the 3rd Aliyah of the Parsha of Noah. At 11 o'clock, we will have a class on the Book of Joshua. At 4:30, we will have a class, our Deep Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock tomorrow, we will have a class in the Tikkuni Zohar. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening and a better day tomorrow than you had today. Shalom Gadol. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.